response was, the hour that you spend in the shiur will save you many more hours. It's a good investment. Okay? So I hope that will come true this during the shiur as well. I begin, as I often do, the letter from the Rabbi Scheinberg, Shalitha of Yerushalayim, note to the shiur. It goes as follows. Every woman must enjoy Pesach. Called Simchas Yom. It's a Torah obligation. Explained by the Chazal. She must look forward to it. She should not dread it like a tish. I begin, as I often do, the letter from the Rabbi Scheinberg, Shalitha of Yerushalayim, note to the shiur. It goes as follows. Every woman must enjoy Pesach. Called Simchas Yom. It's a Torah obligation, explained by the Chazal. She must look forward to it. She should not dread it like a Tisha B'Av. Every woman, that is almost impossible, but she writes, every woman must be well rested, relaxed, and alert at the Seder table, so that she can fulfill all the Torah and Rabbinic obligations and follow the Haggadah with the rest of the family. Clearly, the performance of her pre-Pesach obligations must be balanced against her Pesach obligations. There are those people who drive themselves completely crazy before Pesach. They sleep through the Seder, and they have no strength, even if they're awake, to enjoy it and to be happy on Pesach. It's terrible. I mean, one of the tapes my kids had a song called the Here Come Pesach Blues, or the Pre-Pesach Blues. That's ridiculous. And it's all because of the following. Because people confuse preparing for Pesach with spring cleaning. It has nothing to do with one another. Spring cleaning is an American concept. People make themselves meshuggah. But they can do what they want. Don't blame it on the rabbanim. You're making yourself crazy with the spring cleaning. What does it mean, Pesach cleaning? It's true. The Torah prohibits us from having chametz in our homes on Pesach. I'm not denying that. Certainly it's true. But the Torah and the rabbis prevent us from having in our homes chametz, which means bread, nature, cookies, pasta, the size of a kazayis, the size of an olive, not little teeny crumbs on the floor. Small crumbs on the floor do not constitute a halachic problem. They may bother you, especially with spring cleaning or everyday cleaning, but don't blame the rabbanim when you break it back, pick up teeny little pieces of crumbs or dirty and filthy in any event. Yes, sir. I never said that. Sinful on our part that there was chametz. We did whatever we could. We checked in all the normal places. You learn after that, there's certain children who are very gifted, the normal places are increased. That's what we learned the lesson. But that was bad because I had the sandwich. But he said, oh yeah, I found, a little crumb. Ah, I'm not saying that I also get a bit of crumbs by season. But you're not obligated to make yourself crazy looking for crumbs. Now it is true. Hazal said, if the crumbs can come together in the form of desires, there's a problem. But how often does it happen that these crumbs come together in the form of desires? The only time it happens is in the vacuum cleaner bag. But if it comes together, the vacuum cleaner bag got so fierce, full of dust and dirt and yuck, it's not edible at all. But I don't think that counts. So therefore, if you don't see something which is the size of a kazayin coming together to that size, it's not a halachic problem, and you're not required to break your back looking for such things. This is very important. Now let me explain to you what Rabbi Scheinberg says. In the former time, the reading could remain. Wealthy people who had large homes also had many servants for their every bidding. The poor people who could not afford servants lived in small homes with one or two rooms. So you couldn't lose if you had a big house. You had servants to clean up for you. If you couldn't afford the servants, you had a small house. But today, we're caught in that. Many of us are caught in that bind. You have to thank God somewhat larger apartments or homes. We don't have the servants to clean it up for us. So the poor balabusta, who now often has a job of her own, which they never had in those days, and maybe has a bunch of children and a job of her own, and is juggling everything, and now on top of that, she has Pesach to worry about. Now, we're caught in a trap. The average home is larger than those of former times. Furniture, utensils, and clothing are much more plentiful. Not on the surface. That's the problem. And so the pressure of pre-Pesach cleaning has reached inordinate and unnecessary levels. The lady of the household becomes a nervous wreck, unable to enjoy the simplest yontav of Pesach, and unable to perform the mitzvah of the Seder night to perform their obligations. It's terrible, as you mentioned earlier. So therefore, we have certain leniencies which are important. Talk about the spring cleaning. Just do spring cleaning because it's going to come at the expense of the Seder night. Okay. That's very important as a introduction. Now, normal floors, you sweep it, you don't put through the cracks. Food cabinets, just roll it up. Clothing closets should look for fully edible crumbs of comments. That's all. Only if comments are brought in there. Very important to keep it cool as far as the biggest comments are concerned. Let me take a step backwards. Go through a number of other things which are of importance, but I want to go through, take a step back. And that is as follows. We eliminate comments in three ways. Okay? We do. Three B's are what's found in the Gemara. They are Bidika, which is here takes place on Thursday night, not earlier because Friday night is the National Pesach. Then we do what's called Biur, which is burning. And then we do what's just called Bittul, which is nullifying. Three things. Three B's, if you remember. The Bidika is done on Thursday night. Thursday night, the way it is. Thursday night, am I correct? I haven't read it. Yes, time until in the next 2.5 weeks, it's generally understood that gradually the house gets cleaned up. Don't rely, especially on your husband, don't rely on the Thursday night for Dika's Chavah to do the job. It's just not reliable. I'm telling you from the spirit, it's not reliable. Generally speaking, the obligation of the Balas Abayis to make sure the house is cleaned in advance before you even start the Dika's boss, a share, a joke. The answer is you have a custom. The custom is to put out 10 crumbs of bread before the Bidika begins. And that should be done by you. You put out the game of treasure hunt. You play the game of treasure hunt. You put out the 10 crumbs and don't tell your husband where it is. And let him find it. If he can't find it, go on his hands and knees and beg you to where is the 10th crumb? And then he can extract the price. I want be done. So it's a real, genuine search. He doesn't know where it is. And oh no, we have to keep searching. I want to tell you, I didn't have a sock of mine. Flashlights, no candles. I am so scared of kidding. There were stories, you know some of these stories. Because Chabad candles, of course, I want to say, I don't know if it's the same as we have problems with Hanukkah candles and Shabbos candles. You know, I don't want to say it. Up to me, I'd always eliminate Shabbos candles. I'm not saying real. But after what happened in my cousin's house in Muncie, where the whole house burned down, not only was the nace, was a mother and a child saved, it was a miracle. We're not used to fires, we have electric lights, we don't know how to handle fires. We're not used to it. So, because if you're not used to it, you won't do a good job, you won't put the candle under the bed, you're afraid. Good reason. Flashlights. We all use a flashlight. Flashlight is safe. Right place, that's my view. Flashlight. The search should take place, the official search, after the house is basically cleaned in advance, the official search should take place Thursday night in 2 weeks, as soon as it gets dark. As soon as it gets dark. Now that's going to be daylight saving time and the latency. Right? The clock 2 weeks from today, I believe it is. That's 2 weeks from Thursday, they're going to be daylight savings time, then it won't get dark till 7 something. Right. So that's the way it is. It's the reality. Listen, you do whatever you can do it. It's better to do it. Well, if you come home late from work, whenever he comes home, you should encourage him. Please come home with a decent hour. First of all, it's an education for us to be children. My house, it's a whole thing of niggin, it's a whole thing. My kids are already programmed. It's a thing. And if you do it at 11 o'clock at night, if you're sleeping, it's not right. It's not right. Come on, come so late. It's not right. Okay. What do you do with the chametz? If you find it, you put it in a bag. And what do you say? Formula of bittul. In two bittuls. One at night and one by day. Okay. The bittuls are as follows. Said in English, although it's kind of Yiddish, in the Brew, I'll say in English. All chametz and leavening that may still be in my property shall be considered ownerless and as valueless as the dust of the earth. This is what it means. This is what's called beer bittul chametz, another part of the chametz. Maybe making a renunciation, making it hefker, and maybe some other kind of practical nullification, as the case may be. This year, the second bittul, interestingly, takes place not on Friday morning, but rather when? Shabbos morning. That's a usual twist, because this year, Erev Pesach on Shabbos. We'll get to it a little bit later. The burning takes place this year, like every year, Friday morning. Seriously, we really do Friday afternoon. There's no problem with leaving comments. We'll get to that later also. But because every year we do it in the morning, this year we do it in the morning, so we do it here in Shul. I have to ask you to give this so strong. Please, I'm begging you, to send your bag of chametz. Please send easy to burn chametz. The best thing is white bread. White bread. Bagels are the worst. They don't burn. They don't burn. You see, this doesn't burn now. It's very hard. And don't send any more than 10 crumbs. Oh, I'll get you my whole, bagel. Let this bagel. How am I going to burn it over here? It's not fair. Really, it's not fair. So it falls on a few people and tzaddikim will get stuck there and paste it with the mess. Not being fair to them. Yeah, let this bagels? Take it and throw it out somewhere else. Don't dump it on the shoe. Don't dump on the brats. Don't dump on our shoes burners who are trying to. All right. 10 crumbs, a kazayas, and that's all. There should be a light if you can, a lighter thing that can burn. You know what burns
people. Can't keep them wrapped in
aluminum foil. Make it so much harder for it to burn. Friday morning, I just wrote, I have it here.
Right here.
Pull that. The last time, well, we burned the chametz here until before. We burned the chametz before. The last time it would be 11:53, daylight savings time. Or somehow the earlier Shiras Chametz. In the old days, they would throw all the chametz out, burn it, and gemara. But it became a custom of selling chametz to a goy. Why? Because they want to throw out all the chametz. Nothing more fun to a goy. But you want the cake and eat it too. I want to sell the chametz to a goy, but I like the chametz too. So what do? You sell the chametz to a goy. And the goy, you have to pay them, sells it back to you. If he does, nothing wrong with this. Now, it has to be understood, it's an absolute and unconditional sale. No conditions whatsoever. None. Absolute unconditional sale. We tell the goy on Erev Pesach, listen, Mr. Goy, if you wish, I represent you, I tell him, if you wish after Pesach, instead of paying me $1 million for all the chametz, if you wish to instead sell the chametz back to the original owners, I will use my influence to see to it that they will probably be willing to buy it back from you. This way you will not have to shut out the cash. But you never know. Any given year you may decide you want to take the chametz and then he'll pay you the money, and that's the end. This is right. For the last 25 years plus, I think we've been using a guy named John J. Brown, who was the premier real estate agent, Robert E. Hill, in Riverdale. He has many advantages using this particular guy. Number one, he can probably afford to pay for the chametz, which you want to sell to him. Number two, he's a goy for sure, no question about it. Number three, he's an intelligent businessman who knows contract law. They give a long piece of paper, he knows exactly what it says. Some people use this janitor, they don't understand English. I don't understand what he used to speak. This guy, he never let me say, has a very long contract, it's like a whole page of tiny print, with all kinds of details, and he's very into all the nuances. And number four, he's a real estate agent, he's probably been in your house. At one point or other, it was on sale the next 30 years. Yes. Not yet. Yeah, he often comes down in the past with you, but I'm glad he told me. Okay, so I can make a note. I was wondering, usually he calls me, as a matter of fact. I was wondering why he didn't call me. Wow. Okay, call John J. Brown. Thank you very much for that. I was wondering, as a matter of fact, I said, I have a bit of a few other things in my life, so I haven't called him yet. But I will try to call tomorrow. What's going on? Yeah. Now that I have to be sold, it should be sold. Because this should have made it glass, and it's still flat like from metal, and you sell it to a guy, guess what? We totaled it again. Whenever I see, there are forms, which you will be seeing, the power of attorney forms, all found in the cell. You put a dish, like, cross it out. Now, yes. Something you want. Oh, you can sell anything you want. However, you want to sell something which a person would want to buy. So if something is a full box of pasta, why not? Half a box. Could sell it in theory, but I can throw it out. Don't sell a half a box of pasta. Come on, it's throw that! That's it, finished. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You'll see in the form, it tells you what you're selling, where it's located, and how much it's worth. It's got to be as precise as we possibly can, so that the guy should know what he's buying. You should know what you're selling. Very important. Only kidneys. We can have some wheat in it. You don't even realize the time. So you have to be careful. people here in our community, and thank God that our community has become a center. I don't think we're not going to do anything, we're a center for Mechiras Chometz. Because Baruch Hashem, the older Rabbanu comes, Rabbi Weiss comes, Rabbi Rosenblatt comes, and we have Rabbanu coming from New Jersey, Interstate Commerce, we have Connecticut, we have from Manhattan, we have all kinds of people coming for, the truth is that John Graham was such a good guy, there's even a video about it. I'm not sure if you read that. The OU, who had a video, they wanted to show Mechiras Chometz in action. What happened was, one of the rabbis, Rabbi Moshe Rosenberg, he used to be rabbi in assistant in the RJC, so he took his own private video once, and he gave it to somebody, he said, hey, let's get a professional job, and give it out to the OU, so they did it. And, you know, I had to wear a colorful tie that year, so I didn't put on a blue shirt, though. That far I didn't go. And I haven't seen it, but they have, you know, John Brown is here, and they spoke to me, and then I spoke to the city there. And we have some pictures outside with the kids, burning the chuppahs and so on. Oh, shoot! We are a famous institution. So that videotape, seen all over, somebody's seen all over the country. So if you want to come, I think I'm over my house. If you have time to see it, plug it into your VCR and have a good time. Your kids will watch it. Instead of some other things. Anyway, but maybe your child's even in it. It was a few years ago. In any event, the real sale should be done about Kahalon. Okay. Let us now get to the thorny part, which is a twofold thing. Number one, people who go away from Pesach, they go away to avoid two things, cooking and cleaning. The cooking they certainly avoid. How about the cleaning? Is that legit? So the answer is, according to many authorities, it is legit. That if you go away for the whole Pesach, you may leave the house filled with chametz, close it up, and just leave. Now, there's a condition. Go ahead and be able to get in. You go to Florida. The first time in my life, I was in Florida for one day this past week. I had to speak for the yeshiva, and I had a little break between, I gave four shiurim between the third and the fourth. There was a little break because we had to suffer. Power 41, a restaurant there. Let me tell you that. I balanced the time out of weight. I prefer having peanut butter. But they showed me that the fountain was blue and the Eden rock. That's all the Eden come. And the crowd of the Fenena, what's it called? Ramada. I saw this all from a distance. I didn't actually go in, but I saw a few blocks away. So, out of the car, out of my glass, little barbie. That's how I know I was in Florida. 90 degrees in the middle of March. Ridiculous. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not here to criticize. If you go, they go, then you go because they hate. I make one recommendation, though. If you have to go away to a hotel, this gets too late, go to Eretz Yisrael. It's cheaper. You're helping out Eretz Yisrael. You're showing support for your brothers and sisters there. You know, I think you should stay home, friend. If you're going to go to a hotel, I'm told it's cheaper to go to Eretz Yisrael. How can you go to Florida? I guess they're not always in control of the situation. They go out with parents, with children, with mechuton, I don't want to criticize, but you get my where I'm going, where I'm coming. Anyway, so you go to Florida. All right, great. You sell the chametz, John Brown or some other guy, and you lock the door. You don't tell where you're going. You go to Florida. So the Mishnah Berurah says that sale is a farce. Has no validity. What do you mean? You sell the chametz, and you lock the door and go away. That's ridiculous. It's absurd. So you have to leave a key with someone and tell them where the key is left. Don't give him the key. I wouldn't do that either. You come back with no silver. But you give the key to me, or you give the key to the doorman or some to a neighbor. Someone's paranoid. And I don't really prove this, but if you're paranoid, you say, the key can be found in the fountain below Miami Beach. So if you want the key, you'll take a trip. I don't like that, because that's a little ridiculous. But you must be somebody to leave the key with. I have keys, people left the keys for 10 years, the keys are still here, they never picked them back up. I'm serious, so many keys, I don't know whose keys they are, I don't write the names down. They come back at the pace and forget it, they leave them with it. Anyway, so that's very important, those are going away. That's very, very important. The Mechiras Chometz should be done with the Rav in person, they need to come to me and appoint me personally, because I have a handkerchief with the strong custody sign, a piece of paper, in front of me a second piece of paper. For those who can't, I do accept fax authorizations. My first step is the word fax came from the U.S. Congress. How old is fax? 15 years? Something like that. Felsberg, but he was living here in Riverdale. So, my Talmud. He called him, Rebbe, I forgot to sell the chametz to you. Gewalt. I said, Mark, where are you? I said, I'm on the West Coast. I said, I can't help you. I mean, I'm faxing to you. I said, what? That's my first time I heard the word fax. What's that? So he said, yeah, and he said, my first ever fax. You do it in email. I don't like email because you can't sign email. I want a signature, not just a type and things. Although someone told me that against the rule. I said, look, I recognize that rule. I want to, whoever's email has a fax. Come on. So it can be faxed to you if necessary. It's better to screw up in person. Okay. This is the Mechiras Chametz. Very important. There are those people who wish to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechiras Chametz on one room because they want to have the minute. They don't want to the whole house. It's too much. They want to show their kids. They want to make a bracha. If they do it during the night, they can. My form says, I'm selling the whole house except for one room. I have that also if you want. If you want. All the albums are in front of you on the form. It will be distributed not this week. Next week, Mishnah will be informed. I don't go into business until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. General rule. I'm not in business to sell chametz. You're not selling it to me. Right? I want to sell you the chametz. I don't buy the chametz. I'm only an agent to sell the chametz to a non-Jew. It's very important to realize that. Okay. Fish was a big problem. Big problem. You can't even sell the fish. Because if the fish was being used to feed your fish, then you're not going to have any handoff, or any benefit from the fish. Even the local food guy. You got to sell the fish too. Well, how can you allow your fish to eat chametz? You have
another kind of food.
Oh, that's good. Get rid of that. That's fine. Shrimp. Good. There's no problem. Let me go on, because we have a lot of things to talk about. We have a limited amount of time. This year, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. It's caused all kinds of hang-ups. It hasn't happened in 7 years. Those of us remember from last time, I have sure pleasant memories. My wife prefers to see her all early for a simple reason. She can have a nap before the Seder. Rabbi Sharman spoke about it. She's most rested. As crazy as sounds, a crazy year. She's most rested to see her more than any year. Shabbos comes up to do. I mean, she's zombie. I remember my bubby on there, she was telling me when she moved to Eretz Yisrael. Buddy, it's terrible here in Eretz Yisrael. Why, bubby? She said, in New York, I would always be full asleep the first day. I was so exhausted. Get a nice big nap first day. Okay, so in the second Seder, I was awake. I come to Eretz Yisrael, there's no second Seder. I can't handle it. My bubby used to say. So the only time you can get be rested for the first Seder in New York is this kind of a year. But there are certain pluses to it. Certain pluses to it. There's also no Shabbos Chalamay. My wife is a big plus. You have a whole Chalamay, you know, and then you have to worry about another day in the middle to cook and everything else. There are certain pluses in it, but there are also certain complications. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos this year? So I'll tell you my preference, and I'll tell you the other options. My preference, when we do announce this spouse, we have challah rolls counted out to the number of people who are at our home. Each one has 3 challah rolls. If there are 10 people, we have 30 challah rolls. Unless by request people say they can't eat a whole challah roll. We're going to get to that later too. Friday night, everyone gets a challah roll. We have the chamishta, but one challah roll per person. How do we arrange the meal? We first put some kind of a disposable tablecloth. It's easy. Take a disposable tablecloth and put out only big kiddush, pay something, becha, everything, and on the table, only challah roll. That's it. All that you put on the table is salt. I got salt. So your first course Friday night is challah with salt. Sorry, you can't have challah not with the fish and not with the chicken soup and not with the chef liver. Not challah by itself, and you eat over the table. So the crumbs all fall into the disposable. Then you wrap the disposable up. Assume there's nothing really there. You get if you're really crumbling, take it out the window. Throw it down the chute somewhere. Just get rid of it. Add downstairs in your private house if you're in a. Just get rid of it. Out. Yes. No, that's no good. That's not your problem. So when you do it, you take, don't quote. thing. You take that little tablecloth and you put it into some. No, I said, I don't know. You can take it and put it, they have these on the streets. They have refuse. You're not really supposed to put your private refuse there. But if you just put one little disposable, you'll not really knock it off. Put it in the street. The A roof, yeah. Have a slight problem. But they'll figure out a way how to handle it. I don't know what they'll do. Yeah. Oh, that's a good way. Right. I think so. Anyway, then, yes. That's right. There's such a small amount of it. Then, number two, Shabbos morning. Davening very early this year. I think, although it's daylight savings, not so bad. I think we're davening at 7:20. That's not so bad. That's Hashkam. We're davening at 7:30 every week. We're davening at 7:20. No speech. No, well, it's your choice. Shabbos, like, oh, but no speech. We should be finished by, I would say, by 9:20. We should be finished 2 hours. Both should take. And I have my Zman Achila. I have written over here two different Zman. The real Zman, I think, is 10:49. Mirim on the rum is 10:13. Finish at 9:20. There should be no problem having a second collarbone. For those who wish, and again, you have to do your, know your own family, we do it in our house. We have our first meal, it's all it is a collarbone. That's it, a collarbone. We wash, we have it, salt, saltable, bench, kirchas amazon. Kirchas amazon, only collarbone. Then, around the block, and we maybe someone wants to learn something, to do something. Maybe some of those people who haven't davened, we'll daven them. Come back 15 minutes later, we wash again. Because according to many authorities, you can fulfill shalosh shudis even in the morning. And those not everyone agrees to that. So that's already our shalosh shudis meal. And we finish that next third challah roll before. Well, let's make a decision. It'll be 10:13 or 10:49. Different opinions, okay? And then wrap up that, down the toilet, out the dirt, but out, finish. We stop eating the comments completely by one of these times, 10:13 to 10:49, and then we go all at our Suda Shabbos. What do we have Suda Shabbos? Fish with whatever you normally have. I don't know, whatever you have, fish with chicken, with kugel, or Pesach then. Then you can veg, you can take spirits all you want, veg whatever you want. That you can always do for us, I don't mind. Then, there is a custom that the afternoon sometime, after, let's assume after 1:30, daylight savings, sometimes between 1:30 and sometimes like before gets dark, you also have some other kind of a mini meal. What does it mean? Sometimes they have a piece of fish for argument. I think the best thing is fish. I'm a big fish lover. Piece of fish, not be your shalosh shudis, according to the versions that say you can have shalosh shudis even from fish, but it has to be in the afternoon. We try to get it from both ends. We get it in the morning without just having just two separate meals, one of challah only, veg, go around the block, make a hefsek, and then an interruption, and then you have that second meal starting with challah. That's the way shalosh shudis will be with challah. And in the afternoon, you have a piece of fish. Now, there are many people who don't do this. It's too much for them. I would say as follows. Those individuals who are not careful every single Shabbos, top challah for the third meal, don't think it's so crazy this week either. Some people have challah shabbos, they have fish, they have cake, they have this, they have fruits. There are resources in halacha for that. They can rely on that this year also. But those who are care meticulous every year to have challah should try to do it this way. This is the way in which done in our home. However, I am cognizant of the fact that in certain homes, we'll get neurotic. How can I have challah in my house? There are Pesach, I'm going to get rid of it, I'm going to do with it. Well, this is the way out. That's called egg matzah. Egg matzah. Get rid of all the chametz for Friday, nothing comes up in the house. And you can have your meal over egg matzah. Egg matzah is one of those funny things. It's not real chametz, but it's customary for us not to eat in December. People who are sick that can't chew the hard matzah, or children have egg matzah, the older people, they're the ones who have the egg matzah. So those who are too neurotic have the chametz in the house are not going to understand that. What they should do is get rid of all their chametz before Shabbos, have their meals on egg matzah. Friday night, egg matzah, the whole meal. Wash the bench over. Shabbos morning, yeah, absolutely. Shabbos morning, once again, a whole meal, wash and bench the egg matzah. Now, here's a big shaila. Can you have egg matzah after this month? After this 10:13 or 10:49? Like a big dispute. Some say yes and some say no. Some say that the custom that we have not to have egg matzah was limited to Pesach itself. Erev Pesach is not so strict. Others say no, the custom is even in Erev Pesach after this month not to have egg matzah. Rav Moshe was strict. He said you can't have the egg matzah past as early as part of 10:13 or 10:49. Whatever somebody else does with challah, you do with egg matzah. So the veggie didn't like the whole egg matzah solution at all. For other reasons, maybe it's considered to be matzah, but you can't have an Erev Pesach. Everyone has their own problems. Everyone thinks it's chametz, everyone thinks it's matzah. This beautiful Jewish literature, everyone, whatever it is. So those who cannot handle the challah should use egg matzah. That's all. It's a legitimate solution. Any questions about this? It's very important. Any questions to ask now? Yes. Not how to make, you can't do that without an interruption. It's like the ruffle of a tulip. You have kiddush, you have cholerol, bench. Take a walk around the block. Shuls, what's going on? Is it a friend? It's a great time to visit, right? Erev Pesach in the morning. After what better time is to pounce in on somebody? Some malachim, have you been? You know. It all depends on the clock. You have to see, you know, what the clock is like. You have to make a decision which time you want to use. Man, they're half an hour apart or something, so doesn't give you much time. First of all, not everyone holds this. 10:15 is only my spot. You look at the other books, they'll have a little bit of a later time. They'll say instead of 10:13, they'll say, give me a second, they'll say 10:25. They'll say 10:49, and they'll say parentheses, M.A., Bogan Avrov, 10:13. My view is you can rely on 10:49. That's what it's really saying. But for those who want to have the stricter view, I have no problem. 10:49. That's written in my piece of paper. You have built, it hasn't been printed yet. No, it hasn't been printed. It's been put up there for our editor, my shtetl. Yes, Mr. Ross. Said the word shalom. I wouldn't eat shalom today. I'd rather get the Pesach think of shalom, but Pesach think of shalom, no problem. Meat, potatoes, no problem. Pesach think of shalom, no problem. Wash the shalom. You wash the bread. You don't wash the shalom. You don't wash the shalom. That's the answer. You don't wash the shalom. You wash a bread or matzah or egg matzah. That's good. An Erev Pesach until 10:49, you can have egg matzah. 10:49. Okay, very good. This is how you can have the proper Erev Pesach from Shabbos. Yes? In the afternoon, Shalosh Shulis, you can't have bread, you can't have matzah, you can't even have egg matzah. All you can have is fish. Fish. Meat, cold cup, yeah. Twice, if you can. You can't handle it, have it once. Right. Okay, is it clear? This is a very unusual thing. Matzah, egg matzah? Yes. I want to tell you, I didn't mention cake at all in Erev Pesach for a variety of reasons. Number one, the big dispute about the egg about Pesach licking cake, which is, you know, the matzah milk cake, you're allowed to have an Erev Pesach without it. It's complicated. Number two, very often the sheer kazayas and flour or matzah meal in these cakes. It's mostly sugar and this. You're just better off staying away. Can I tell you a secret? You're better off with the whole Pesach staying away from it. In other words, if you can't make a bracha on it, so you have it for dessert in a regular meal. In other words, because if you make a bracha on it, you never get enough for a sheer. It's complicated. Better stay away. Then there was only bracha, another problem. But anyway, let's go on. Any, let's hear child eats a quarter of a roll, you budget a quarter of a roll for that child. You know, you have to use your...
And for little kids, you shouldn't give them anything. Ah, no.
Let us continue, please. We have a lot to talk about and I have very little time. So let's try to maximize the time that we have in this discussion. Okay. The halachas of Erev Pesach continue. We are supposed to, you know, without saying so explicitly, get a nice long nap on Shabbos Erev Pesach. We should all be up for the same. Remember, this is daylight savings. It's 7 days late. You know, I just looked at my schedule and the job is Meyer late, but the state is late. Let's see what it says over here. Meyer of that night is at 10 after 8. It's tough. Now, my house, we have mocked, we try to finish the Seder, in effect, substitute upon the Seder, before Chatzos. What is Chatzos? This year's Seder at 12. 8. Okay? By 12:58, we should be up to what we call Nirtza. After it's a sink. But that's what it should be done. We should try our best to involve the children in the Seder. The whole Seder is in our house. The whole Seder is about children. That's what the Seder is all about. Children. It's the children's holiday. We got to deliver in them. We sing with them, we play with them, whatever it takes. Awake, you should make sure they nap. And the most important thing, kids don't nap, forget about it. Forget it, they don't nap. So you have to try your best to see to it that they get a rest. Best you can. I love the best you can. This is the halacha as far as that Arab case. Let's discuss some of the laws of the Seder very briefly. Seder has a few critical mitzvahs to it. The most important is matzah. A matzah, you have to have matzah. Of a kazayas of matzah. What's a kazayas of matzah? To go nuts. They have 2 matzahs, 5 matzahs, 8 matzahs. In Europe, they have this much matzah. That's all it was. So if you want to take a somewhat stricter view, it depends what matzah you're using. If you're using hand matzah, again, hand matzahs are not, let's talk machine matzah. Some of the machine shmura matzah. So, my view, strictly speaking, you have a quarter of a matzah, it should be enough, really. So we both have 2 kazeis, if you have a half a matzah, which is a half of a regular machine matzah, that's enough. You want to eat 4? Good idea. First of all, they're around a mirror, but double over shirut. And second of all, it's a mitzvah. Once a year, especially the first night. What? The only mitzvah to eat all year long by a space of night. By Torah, that's it. All you have is to eat matzah space of night, the first night. So eat more. You shouldn't eat too much, you should be a little bit hungry. Normally, when someone is hungry, they're getting okay, much more hungry. Because if it's Shabbos, that's a bit of a problem. Don't eat too much. You should have, therefore, using a machine, matzah that much. Hand matzah is even thicker, as a rule. Probably about a fifth of a matzah is probably a kazayis. You should have 2/5 of a matzah, 40%. And again, once again, I recommend, ideally, you should eat more, because after all, it's a mitzvah, the more you eat, so in my house, you know, if you ate something on Shabbos, you don't get to the matzah. Come on, you know how it goes. 8 to 10 is your first time in marriage. You're not going to get home until closer to 9. Then you have Kiddush. And then you have the long Haggadah. Yeah, I mean, don't make it too long. But you want to be a matzah probably until 11 o'clock at night. You're hungry by then. So hungry by then, so then you can have that. I know I usually have, I'll tell you the truth, I'm confessing my sins. I usually have, I'm probably close to more than a half a matzah I eat. And for my first kazayas, it takes some time. What's wrong? It's tasty. I'm hungry, I eat it. You know, you try to get the good ones, the thin ones. Well, the thin ones are good. I think we usually get Salem Popa, I think we usually have. Nice and thin. Everyone has their own, whatever. So it's good, delicious. Women are kind of the same as men. No difference. That's what we do in this audience. another mitzvah, which is a very likely important mitzvah, which is Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus. You have to be involved in it, saying it, telling it, listening to it. Very important. Very important. Very important mitzvah. The English should be done with it. It's a very important thing. Children should be involved, as I mentioned before. Then, there's a mitzvah of Arba Kosos, all three women. There's some possible to say that men should adopt God. Why? hereby put my recommendation on hold. You got to find out if that's within the boundary of the verse or not. Thank you for the Lynn, I forgot all about it. Thank you for reminding me. And I have it to my home. Okay. Now, presto, it's again, that's using my house. What we do is we have different burners on top of the stove. So, the one-time investment is worth its money many times over. Like that. And as far as the other, we use an insert. We use an insert. It's a hassle. It makes it even smaller than our oven really is. Don't do it. You can put it into a pot of boiling water.